The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Mino Studio is a pre- and post-production facility for all of your audio needs. Mino Studio's founder is an accredited audio engineer with top 40 and indie album credits. With over 30 years of music industry experience, Mino Studio can take your podcast from idea to reality. Contact Mino Studio at MinoStudio777@gmail.com for more information. That's Mino Studio spelled M-E-N-O. MinoStudio777@gmail.com. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs. And welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is Show Me the Money. I know that's a strange title, but I'll explain it in just a few minutes. I really want to be real with you, and that's what these Friday, Fun Fact Fridays are about. They're about giving you information, additional information, but also about sharing what is going on in terms of some of the real estate endeavors that I'm involved with. The whole purpose of this is really to help you guys to learn. And if you have somebody else that's kind of going through the motions and experiencing things, falling down and succeeding and falling down and succeeding. Yeah, I think by sharing that information, hopefully it will help you. And I hope you'll look at this and you'll say, gosh, if this guy can do it, anybody can. And that's really what I want to happen. And I'm not real thrilled, you know, sharing with you when I don't do so well. But at the same time, I know that if you can learn from it, it's worth it. I really want you to know there's nothing to fear as you get involved with real estate investing. Yeah, we're all going to make mistakes. That's just part of it. And I'll probably make more than most. So I'll give you a lot of examples of things not to do. But you can also see, too, when I fall down, I'll pick myself back up. Maybe I'll whine a little bit, but I will get back on and keep moving forward. And that's really an important part of this, is that you are going to learn as long as you just keep moving forward. Don't let those little obstacles in your way take you away from your goal and what you're trying to do. And I was in Indianapolis recently, as you know. I spent that 30-day period there and learned a lot. And it was something that I was very excited about. I came back. I had not only achieved my goal of 90%, I actually got 95% occupancy. But a few days after, I found out that a couple of tenants broke lease and left, and I'm going, oh man, I'm right back on starting all over again. And not really. I mean, I had created such a good pipeline that I've got a lot of people waiting for places. So I think filling those spots is not going to be difficult. But at the same time, you got to realize things are going to happen and things are going to change, and you just have to be ready for it. Now, as I'm stabilizing Indy, and there's still some more to be done, getting the cash flow steady and continuous is important because I want to continue the upgrades and the rehabs. I have had to invest more into rehabs while I was there. I had to invest an additional $7,000 in rehabs and upgrades and things that we had to do. That's just part of it, and you still continue to move forward. I also see the rents are going up. As the units become available, I'm able to bring people in at the highest market rate that I can, and that helps too. So there's positive and negatives there. I think a key thing that I'm working on right now is trying to get the management to really just be in sync with the goals for the rehabs, for the upgrades, for quick turnarounds. We're about to introduce the RUBS, which is the utility sharing, dividing up the extra utility costs amongst the tenants in 2017, if we think that's going to work well. And we're continuing to try and reduce expenses and maintain strong cash flow. I've had tenant problems and vacancies in properties I have in Memphis and Atlanta while I was in Indianapolis, and that was not fun to deal with, but again, it's part of the process. I am seriously thinking and considering, especially with the single family properties that I have, that I will sell those properties if the market's right, and especially after I buy my next large multifamily. But I'm realizing that they tend to be more of a cash drain and a time consumer as opposed to the multis that impact so many more units than a single family. But now I'm looking ahead as things are getting stabilized, and I've got that goal of 1,000 units by 2020. This year, I have until December 31st to acquire 8 more units. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but coincidentally, I just found an 8 unit that looks really attractive to me, and very possibly could acquire that before the 31st. I've got a self-directed IRA that I haven't done anything with that's sitting there not earning any money whatsoever, so this would be an ideal place to use some of those funds as well. That may happen. We'll see what happens. If not, I'll go into the year with a deficit of 8. Hopefully we'll make up that pretty quickly, though, in our purchase in 2017. My goal in 2017 is 72 units that I have to acquire if I'm doubling each year, as I have been doing. I'm really looking at probably 100 plus. I think 70 plus, you know, you can have an on-site manager. It makes sense to be able to do that. And I think that that's probably one of the best ways to manage some of these properties. But 100 plus, you also can get sort of a better overall purchase. There's just a benefits of economies of scale when you're talking 100 plus. I'm also maybe looking at B or B plus property as opposed to the C's that most of what I've purchased have been C's. I think that there's a real benefit in that. But as I start looking at that next property, these are some of the issues that I have to take a look at. And, you know, it could be, if it's a good deal, you know, I might need maybe only $300,000 to get in. Or it could be $2-3 million to get in, depending on the price of the property and the amount of repair funds required. I'll be dealing with sellers and bankers who will be saying those famous words, show me the money. And that's, to me, that is that big, okay, now you got to come up with some significant amount. I've been able to finance all my properties on my own without having to bring in any outside investors. That's where I'm at now, is I'm at this point where I'm looking at, if I'm going to get that next big property, I'm going to have to show them the money. And this is the part I don't look forward to, but at the same time, I really want to learn, and it's going to be a process and learning as well that I'm actually really looking forward to. So in order to move forward, I must raise the funds, and so I'm looking at options. Now, if I had more time, if I wasn't in a, you know, working on a 6-year process here, I probably could wait for this property in Indianapolis to double in value, which I feel very confident it will. But I don't know when that's going to occur. Will it happen in a year? Will it happen in 2 years? Will it happen in 3 years? I don't know. I could take that equity and probably be able to buy a large multi. But I don't necessarily have that option right now. Another possibility, instead of coming up with cash, would also be maybe seller financing. And doing a master lease we've talked about on previous shows, where the seller takes on a lot of the brunt of the funding and so forth. But those are even harder to find. So the chances of that happening in the time frame that I have are not real great. I think the bottom line is that I'm really going to have to look at what my most likely options would be. So, and there are a number of them, but the key ones that I'm looking at this point is either setting up a fund where I can raise funds in advance from people that are interested in investing and letting them know what the criteria is for the property we're looking to purchase and so forth. In fact, an episode that we recently had with Kim Lisa Taylor, a syndication attorney, she talked about how you can do that ahead of time so that you don't have to scramble for money. Once you've found a property, you've got people that are already interested and they can get involved. Another option is a joint venture, working with somebody that, partners with you. I'm still going to have to come up with money, but the other person would be able to take half of that responsibility. Then there's a sponsor idea. A sponsor is somebody who has a lot more experience that could sign for the loan. They've got the net worth and so forth to be able to sign for a multimillion dollar loan like that, and to be able to also be an equity partner in it as well. And then finally, there's syndication, and that's also along the lines of the fund as well. But the syndication would be basically, finding the property and getting a bunch of individuals to invest in it, and everyone would have a part of that profit of that property and so forth. So those are the things that I'm looking at right now, and I'm really assessing and looking at what direction do I really want to take. But I know that is that next step where you get to the point of people saying, show me the money. So as I research and look at this, I will share with you how things are going, how I'm getting information. There'll also be guests on as well that you'll see that address a lot of these issues. And some that have been on already have talked about these issues. But this is going to be my focus. Of course, stabilizing Indianapolis is key for me right now, getting that stabilized and management in sync and so forth. Looking ahead, it's really moving into that mode of raising funds right now. Well, that's all I've got for today. Please note, everything that I've talked about here is on our show notes. I'll have a link also to that episode with Kim Lisa Taylor, the syndication attorney, that you can reference. Just go to olddogsnetwork.com/blog to access all of our show notes, and just look for episode 050 entitled Show Me the Money. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.